The passage from Mark's Gospel this morning brings a lot of questions with it. My daughter is getting divorced. Is she going to go to hell for this? My son has had an affair and is thinking of divorcing his wife. Is he going to hell for this? Questions that I haven't personally received yet, but I have colleagues who have. Questions full of fear. This passage evokes some stark images in our minds. Pastor Philip Rouge-Jones writes the following about this passage. As soon as the word divorce is read aloud, a whole sermon will appear in people's heads. Some will hear early sermons that were launched at them or someone they loved when a divorce occurred. Pain will make it difficult to hear the words that you actually speak. Others will conjure up their condemnation of others based on this single word. So here we go. The divorce text. Let's try to make some sense of it and figure out what Jesus is trying to say to us today. And as we move through the text, as we move through the sermon, I would ask you to move with me. Don't get stuck. First, let's situate this passage this morning within Scripture. Katie read to us that the Pharisees came to trap Jesus. The Pharisees are hoping to catch him saying something. But what? To figure that out, we need to look back a few chapters in Mark's Gospel to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is where we have the story about the beheading of John the Baptist. John had been critical of Herod and his marriage to Herodias. Herodias had previously been married to Philip, Herod's brother. John didn't approve and said as much. This got John arrested. And then while drunk, Herod agreed to have John executed. Enter the Pharisees in our passage today. If they can get Jesus to say something similar to what John said, they can go and tell Herod, who might then arrest Jesus. You see where this is going. Jesus doesn't fall for it. He answers their question with a question. What does the law of Moses say? The answer, Moses gave permission for a man to write a divorce notice and send his wife away. To which Jesus replies, Moses wrote this law for you because you are so hard to teach. Other translations render this as hard-hearted. In other words, Jesus says you should stay married, but Moses did allow an out. Jesus escapes the trap, but his words aren't necessarily easy to swallow. If we just stay on a surface level looking at this passage, Jesus is far more critical about remarriage than he is about divorce. But if we just stay here, we haven't really done enough or done much at all with the passage. So we've set the passage within the context it belongs within Mark's Gospel. But where does it exist within the culture where it was written? Let's talk about that for a bit. When Jesus walked the earth, women were considered property. Let that sink in for a moment. It's a thought and an idea that today we find particularly distasteful. Today we view, at least I hope we view, women and men as equals. But this was not so when Mark's gospel was written. Women were property, and this was nominally for their protection. They were under the protection of either their father or their husband. And if a man divorced his wife, he removed from her all social benefits and protections. She became an outcast in society. If divorced, she had no family. She couldn't go back to her father. There was no social safety net that would catch her. And a divorced woman, whether we like it or not, at that time was often left to beg or to prostitute herself to survive. With that in mind, we might understand the words of Jesus to provide a rebuke of divorce for the protection of the vulnerable, the divorced woman. Jesus says that yes, Moses allowed it, but that was because you were hard-hearted. Stop being so hard-hearted. Now, the question Jesus receives from the Pharisees also assumes a patriarchal worldview. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife, is what they ask him. Not is it lawful for a woman to divorce her husband, not is divorce lawful in the first place. And you will notice that at the end of that section, Jesus makes a comment about women divorcing their husbands. Under Jewish law, a woman could not divorce her husband, but under Roman law, a woman could divorce her husband. This gives us some insight into Mark's audience and further situates the gospel within a historical context. So we've placed the passage within the larger framework of Mark's gospel to understand the reason for the question in the first place. And we understand the implications from a social perspective and a historical perspective. We could say more, but I think what I have said paints a little bit of a picture. We might not like how women were treated, but we have come a long way in the last 2,000 years. But what about divorce today? Because that's why you're all looking at me with very uncomfortable looks. What about divorce today? I have heard it said from a variety of places and a variety of people that the high rates of divorce today are because we do not live in a Christian society, because the values of Christ and what the church teaches have been pushed to the side. And maybe there is truth to that. However, I think it is more likely that there are higher rates of divorce today because women now have the economic and social supports to escape relationships which are abusive. And I think we need to be honest about that. Women today can do what they were not able or allowed to do in the past. So we've talked about divorce, but we haven't talked about the children yet, the second part of that passage. The various translations in the Bible like to put subheadings in. Katie didn't read the subheading today. I encourage the worship leaders not to read the subheadings. But that subheading in the Good News today says, Jesus blesses the little children. And it's trying to be helpful to tell you what this section of Scripture is about. But often I find the subheadings do us a disservice because they disassociate parts of Scripture. They break things up and they make us think that they aren't related. However, this morning, those two passages couldn't be more connected. Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. These two passages, divorce and receiving the kingdom as a child, they inform one another. Jesus is reminding us that receiving the kingdom is based on dependence on God, not by fulfilling abstract legal principles, even those concerning marriage and divorce. Commenter David Howell writes, "In the kingdom, it is not about what is permissible, but what is ethical." In our passage this morning, Jesus subverts cultural and legal assumptions about women and children. Don't get caught up by what is said on the surface. You need to dig and look deeper. You need to see all of Scripture working together. Charles Campbell writes, "At the heart of this passage is the disruptive work of God in Jesus Christ, which overturns patriarchal marital relationships and elevates those at the bottom of the social ladder into models for entering the kingdom." And we might ask, what is God's purpose regarding marriage in understanding of the kingdom? To which I would answer, God's purpose regarding marriage is about relationships. In fact, I believe we were designed and created to live in community. We worship together as a community of faith. We are relational beings. And God desires relationships which are life-affirming, which bring joy and love into the world. Relationships which promote the values of grace, love, and mercy that the kingdom is founded on. Now, invariably, the question of sin comes up around intimate relationships. And this is where you were all hoping I wasn't going. The divorce text opens up a lot of other conversations. Should we be intimate with someone outside of the bonds of marriage? What about LGBTQI relationships? What about divorce and remarriage? And I find it helpful to look at that word sin and consider what we are asking ourselves. A definition of sin provided by Canadian theologian Douglas John Hall is helpful. Hall writes, "Christians have allowed this profoundly biblical conception, which refers to broken relationships, to be reduced to sins," note the plural, "moral misdemeanors and guilty thoughts, words and deeds, especially of the sexual variety, that could be listed and confessed and absolved. There has been no more effective way of erasing the profundity of this term, which refers to a quality of relationship, than to quantify it. The result is a petty moralism that no longer speaks to the great and abiding conflicts of human persons in their complex intermingling." Stop. I beg you. Stop creating lists of what is acceptable and not acceptable. And start evaluating the quality of the relationships that you are a part and of which you observe. And instead of judging, start loving as openly and as welcoming as a child might. For that is how the kingdom is received. Amen.